We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Right now, probably close to $4 billion have been cut out of youth sports. And when we took a look at this, we realized that based on the trend, in around 21 or so, we could have 25% of the public high schools in the country without a sports program. And if you think about that, that's catastrophic for our kids, because our kids really need a place to go. They need a place to go after school. They need extracurricular activities. They need a place to be with their friends. They need a place where they feel that they belong and they're making a difference. And they also need a place where they're supervised and they have role models. And these coaches provide that role model for them. To have these kids not have a place to go to play sports and to be after school is really, as I said, catastrophic.
I'm Bill Thorne for the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Our guest today is someone whose leadership has made a lasting impression and plenty of headlines in the last year. Ed Stack is the CEO of Dick's Sporting Goods and a leading retailer of sporting goods with more than 700 stores across the United States. Join us as we chat with Ed about his journey leading Dick's since 1984 and how the organization is looking to the future. For today's episode, I'm happy to be joined by my co-host and my friend, Steve Barr, consumer markets leader for PwC and a great friend of the NRF. Welcome, Steve.
Bill, it's always great to be here.
It's fun. I really, really enjoy when we get this opportunity to do this together. Which
one of the highlights of the big show for me.
That's good to know that we have 700 exhibitors here at the big show. We have 40,000 people. We've got all of this content, and this is the highlight. I like that. Thank you. Ed, welcome.
Great. Thanks. Nice to be here.
Really, really pleased that you could take the time. Ed, tell us a little bit about Ed Stack. Where did we start, and where are we today?
Well, I grew up in upstate New York, working in my family's business. My dad started the business back in 1948, and I worked there as a kid. And when I was 13, unloading trucks, doing all kinds of different odd jobs because my father was going to teach me responsibility.
Sure.
And I kind of say tongue in cheek, as I grew up in the business, I hated every minute of it. I wanted nothing to do with the business at all. And when I got out of school, my dad got really quite sick. We had two stores in Binghamton, New York. He got sick, and I came back into the business thinking that I would just stay a while and help, never thinking I'd stay, but I fell in love with retail, and I'm still in love with retail today.
Have you ever seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life?
I have.
This sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
So you've been in retail. So you know, given the amount of time that you've been in retail, you've seen a lot of change. Well, if you were to look at the one thing that really stands out to you about a change that has revolutionized retail, what would that be?
Well, I think there's a number of them along the spectrum, but certainly what's going on right now is the whole omnichannel e-commerce, what's going on in that area. And I think it's just a fascinating time to be in this business. And we think it's, we think that in retail, as it continues to consolidate, we think it's going to continue to consolidate at a relatively rapid rate. There's going to be big losers, but there's going to be some really big winners. And if you can embrace what's going on and go after it aggressively and thoughtfully, there's going to be some big winners. And as I said, I think this is a fascinating time to be in retail. I wouldn't want to be doing anything else.
I agree.
So as you look to that omni-channel model, how important is the store to the future of Dick's Sporting Goods?
I think
the physical store.
I think it's very important. And I think it'll be very important with other retailers too. You'll even see some native digital retailers who are starting to open up stores. And I think it's going to be a combination of retail brick and mortar stores and what's going on from a digital standpoint. But the Dick's stores will always be very, very important. And people still want to come in and be able to touch and feel. And we're doing some things in our stores now that are much more experiential that will really help the consumer out.
Yeah, actually, that's where I was going to go. Because when I walk into a Dick's store, I think of two things personally. I think of an extraordinary in-store experience. And I look to your collaborative relationship with some world-class brands. Just love to get your reaction to that.
Yeah, the relationship we have with the brands, they continue to invest in us and us in them from what happens in the shopping environment in the store and then what happens from an omni-channel standpoint also. But we're starting to put some things in the stores that really are different that people can't do that are digitally native, if you will. One of the big areas that we think that we've got a big opportunity in is baseball. And we're going to put in stores. They're going in right now in 150 stores. We tested it in six of them since October, these batting cages. Uh-huh. And in these batting cages, you can go in and there's technology in there. And if you play golf, it's kind of the same thing of how you fit a golf club.
Sure.
So you go into these batting cages and you can measure your bat speed, the ball speed coming off the bat, the angle of attack. You can really go in there and these kids can swing different bats to find out the bat that's best for them. And if you can't do that,
it's next level experience.
It really is, yeah. And we're doing a lot of things like that. And early indications are really pretty promising.
Yeah, I guess the other thing in store is your store associates. Just share your perspective on the importance of great store associates.
Yeah, it's the most important thing that we work on. You know, so we've always found that the store manager is really probably the most important person for our success, because that store manager is the one who's interacting with the consumer, what we call the athlete. Store manager is interacting with the athlete. That store manager is the one who is hiring and training and managing the people on the floor who are interacting with the athletes, and the linchpin of being successful or not being successful.
A lot of the talk recently has been about retail's demise. If you were sitting on a plane and you introduced yourself and somebody said, well, I hear retail's dying, how do you respond to that?
Retail is changing, and it's changing at a really rapid rate. And I don't think it's dying, it's changing. And those who, as I said a little bit earlier, who are going to embrace that change, who can kind of see the vision of the future, are going to do great. And the people who want it to be the way that it was, they are going to die, because it's not going to go back to the way that it was. And if it's just the same way as retail has changed over the years, whether it's been from, you know, with leaving the city centers and going to the suburban malls, that changed retail significantly. And we're going through one of those other, significant changes. And the people who can embrace it and do well with it are going to do great.
Right. So you're at the big show. 40,000 people here at the Javits Center in New York City, and you're speaking about leadership with conviction. What does that mean to you?
There's different types of leadership. So leadership of what you decide you want to do in the business, what stances you want to take, similar to what we've done with our Sports Matter Foundation or what we did with our gun statement back in February. Leadership is also, you have to make sure that people that work in your organization understand the vision and buy into the vision or committed to the vision. So I think today leadership is across a number of different spectrums, and really the great leaders will be able to go across those spectrums.
So you've made a multi-year $25 million commitment to youth sports. Can you take us a little deeper into that?
Sure. What we found is that a few years ago, and that commitment is now up to $50 million.
Okay.
What we took a look at is what's happening in youth sports today with budget cuts, and there's been probably close to $4 billion have been cut out of youth sports. And when we took a look at this, we realized that based on the trend in around 21 or so, you could have 25% of the public high schools in the country without a sports program. And if you think about that, that's catastrophic for our kids, because our kids really need a place to go. They need a place to go after school. They need extracurricular activities. They need a place to be with their friends. They need a place where they feel that they belong and they're making a difference. And they also need a place where they're supervised and they have role models. And these coaches provide that role model for them. To have these kids not have a place to go to play sports and to be after school is really, as I said, catastrophic. We've done a couple of movies on this subject. So we did a movie called We Could Be King, which was about the doomsday budget in Philadelphia in 2013, where so many schools were closed, sports programs eliminated, and these two rival schools were put together, Germantown High School and Martin Luther King High School. These two rival schools were put together, and we filmed these kids documentary style. We filmed them in school. We filmed them at home, practice, in the streets, in games. And you take a look at this, and there were two defining moments in this movie for me. One was that you saw these kids in a rainstorm out there practicing and going through the mud and going through a difficult practice. And you thought, these kids weren't playing football. What would they be doing? It's really tough to get to a good place. And then the other defining moment was we filmed the Board of Education meeting, which I was surprised they let us do.
I'm shocked.
And one of the kids talked about no football team. not going to school. And if you think about that, fast forward that 5 years, 10 years, 15 years to the fabric of this country of these kids dropping out, it's a real problem. And, you know, they talk about income inequality in the country today, and I think it's real. But the fundamental cause of income inequality, I believe, is educational inequality.
Yeah.
And if we let these kids drop out of school, or we don't encourage these kids or give them a reason to stay in school, 5, 10, 15 years from now, it's a real problem. And we've committed $50 million to this. The We Could Be King movie actually won a sports Emmy, which we were pretty proud of. And then we did another movie called Keepers of the Game, which was about a Native American girls lacrosse team up in upstate New York. And just shows how important sports are to these kids.
Sure.
And how it brings them together, gives them a place to go. These coaches have more influence on these kids to go to school, get good grades, get their homework done, because these coaches make the decision that's most important to these kids. And that's who plays on Friday night.
Right.
And if you take that away, I think it's a problem. So it's something we've been very committed to and will continue to be committed to.
It really is surprising to me that, you know, these school systems, the first place that they're going, they're cutting out, you know, gym class, you know, as even a requirement during the day. I remember as a kid, we had the presidential, there was some, during one day, we would have to go out and we'd run and we'd do certain things and then you'd get a certificate and it was a presidential physical fitness.
President's Council on Physical Fitness.
There you go. Thank you. And it just the lack of understanding that how important that is, physical fitness, being a part of a team, you know, competing, the discipline. It's a fantastic program that you're doing. I just wish there were more doing it.
Well, we're working on it. We feel that we've touched about 1 million kids in this because we've also partnered with a company called DonorsChoose.org, where if a team needs funding, that they can't stay funding the team and they need resources to do that, if they raise half the money that's required, then we'll put in the other half.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And there's been many times where they haven't quite gotten to the half, and we think it's so important we fund it anyway.
Well, it's an extraordinary tale of how retail and communities belong together. And so thank you for what you're doing.
Great, thanks.
So when you think about the future of, you know, where Dick's is going, we talked a little bit earlier about the experiential and things of that sort. Is it a growth model, more stores, different stores? What is the Dick's of the future?
Well, there'll be a few more stores. Not quite as, you know, the growth rate won't be as robust as it has been from a store count standpoint, but we think inside the stores we can do more business
and
grow the business between some of the merchandising philosophies we're putting in place, what we're doing from a marketing standpoint. But we'll still continue to open stores. We'll open next year probably 20 stores.
Wow!
And so we're still growing. We've got roughly a third of the chain that will come up for renewal over the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is we're taking a look at and where do we want to replace real estate, change real estate, and we've got an appetite for some big boxes. And you know, our stores can be anywhere from 50 to 100,000 square feet, depending on the on the demographics around the area. You know, we've taken some of the Sears buildings, put it in big stores, which significantly outperform the stores, the smaller stores that we were in. So not sure we'll have tremendous amount of new stores, but they'll be different, but our square footage will probably be bigger.
So that store of the future, I'm assuming, will have some element to serve your omni-channel consumer, your e-commerce consumer, in a way that the existing boxes just can't because they weren't designed that way.
Well, that's actually right. And we actually have a project going right now, and we don't call it the store of the future. We call it the ecosystem of the future because everything starts from a digital standpoint, starts with your phone, and we're looking at everything from that lens as opposed to a more traditional store of the future lens. We're looking to tie everything in together.
You know, I want to go back to something Steve kind of started down this road, culture. You know, one thing that I've learned having worked at a retail company and then subsequently applying those lessons to other opportunities, culture beats everything. What is the culture, Dick?
We have a culture that we're a performance-based culture, and I couldn't agree with you more. The culture wins out over any other attribute.
Everything.
And so our culture in our company is we're very performance-based, but we're very family-oriented. We really believe that people should have a balance in their life. There should be some work-life balance. We start pretty early in the morning. We start at 7:30. So if you get there at 8 o'clock, you're kind of parking in the back end of the parking lot. But at 6 o'clock at night, the parking lot is pretty empty, you know, other than people that are down in the gym working out, or, you know, we've got a lot of intramural games that are played, softball teams, basketball, all that. But you have to have a balance in your life. I've always felt that if you're driving to work and you hear somebody kind of chirping in your ear that you're going to miss the piano recital, you're going to miss the open house, all that, it's not good for your work environment.
But maybe let's go full circle to where we started, and that was your family business. What did you learn from your father or your family in, you know, that retail experience?
Well, there's a couple things. So on the culture side, it should be family oriented. And back in those days, a real long time ago, I mean, I joined the business in 1977 when I got out of college. We were actually closed on Sunday and Monday.
Wow.
If you can, you can't even imagine that today.
Mm-mm.
But we were closed on Sunday and Monday. And part of the reason was give people 2 days off in a row, give them, you know, the weekend. And we closed Saturdays at 6 o'clock because my father really thought it was important for people to be with their families. And it's something that we try to adhere to today. You only have one chance to raise your kids and to see them play Little League baseball or go to the open houses and all that. And we think you should have an opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we talk a lot about as well with various retailers, even online retailers, the word gets thrown around a lot, communities, our engagement with the communities that we serve. Dick's, I'm sure, has a real strong philosophy. If you're in a community, you're a part of that community. What does that consist of?
Part of it has to do with what we're doing with the Sports Matter Foundation.
Sure.
What we have is the youth sports programs that we do. So if teams need equipment to run a practice, we've got these kits, whether it's basketball, soccer, that we'll give these kits to these leagues or these teams to be able to run a practice. So from a soccer standpoint, I think we have a bag. It's got 6 soccer balls. It's got 8 cones there, pennies, whistles, all of that, and we just give that away to so that they can run a practice, because we really don't think anybody who wants to play, economics shouldn't keep them from that, because it's great. Sports do so many other things, do also extracurricular activities in school, but sports give you the opportunity that teach such life lessons they'll use along the way. So teamwork, commitment, responsibility, all of that. And if kids don't have an opportunity to do that, they miss out on a lot.
Well, I'm afraid that we're running close on time. However, we do have one segment of this program that you may not know about. It's called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
So, Ed, we're going to ask you a question, and what you're going to do is answer with the first thing that comes to mind. Don't cogitate too long. Don't think about it. Just tell us what your thoughts are.
You got it.
Are you ready?
Sure. And
Steve?
You're right. I had no idea about this.
Yeah. Your childhood hero.
Mickey Mantle.
The app that you cannot live without.
Our flash sales report every day.
I can see that.
The best advice you ever received.
Treat people the way you want to be treated.
The ideal vacation for Ed Stack.
With my kids in the mountain skiing.
The last thing you purchased at Dick's Sporting Goods.
A new golf glove.
How are they doing?
My golf game's not very good.
But the clubs are great. Pizza or burger?
Burger.
Well, you stole my thunder. I was going to say favorite comfort food.
Yeah, meatloaf.
Okay.
And then the last one, what's the one thing that's always in your refrigerator, Ed?
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. Very good. So I want to thank you again, Ed, and ask you, if people want to learn more about the foundation or Dick's Sporting Goods, where do they go online?
You can go to dickssportinggoods.com and we'll send you there.
Ed Stack, thank you so much.
Thanks.
You are truly a giant in retail, and we appreciate you spending time with us to give us some good lessons and some good things to think about. Steve, as always, it's a pleasure hosting and co-hosting.
Great to be here,
and
Ed. Extraordinary to meet you.
Thank you. Thanks. This was fun. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And so for more information about this episode or other topics that we discussed, you can check our website at retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks for listening. And if you like Retail Gets Real, well, let your colleagues know, let your friends know. and give us a good rating on your podcast app. Thanks again. See you next time.